local talk jock Howie Carr. He'll just be another lost voice.
Are we to look at this as an end of an era in Boston?
He has no place to go. AM talk is just too dumb. I mean, it's too tedious and repetitive.
And this is just, you know, one more indication of how outrageous he can be.
Here they are ripping me now, and I'm still here. I'm still standing.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
And I'm still here.
It's Howie Carr.
He may be standing, but he's not standing in our studios, the Howie Carr Show Radio Network. Howie is on vacation. He's in Florida. How's he doing, Jared? Is he enjoying the sunshine while we're dealing with the cold and the wind up here in New England?
Oh, he is having a blast, not only in the sun walking the dog, but also, you know, kind of thrown it in our faces. But what are you going to do? I'm happy to be here in the frigid Northeast holding down the fort with you.
And any reports on how Roscoe is doing now that he's been liberated from New York City?
Roscoe is doing fantastically. Howie was at the dog park with him yesterday, I'm sure again today, and I am sure he's having a blast chasing the cats and playing with his Florida snowbird, snow dog friends, I guess.
Well, we look forward to hearing from Howie when he is back in the new year. Howie will be back on Monday. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie until then. Thanks for being with us as we count down the days, the hours. Do you have a favorite moment from 2025, favorite news story, favorite thing that happened this year, Jared?
The reports that we have net negative immigration, like right? Border closing, like that was so unexpected to happen so fast. But I gotta say, I am loving this Somali daycare fraud story. Like, I'm loving that the scale of this is coming out. But if I had to pick, yeah, definitely the border shutdown.
Yeah. It's funny. I was watching a story on one of the news shows, and it was talking about the number of deportations there had been. And it said there had been something like 2.5 million illegal immigrants had left the country, and 1.9 million of them had self-deported. They left on their own because of the Trump administration. They were just like, all right, it's time to go. And the other 600, I'm sure, were escorted out by the Trump administration. And then they showed a graphic. So it said 2.5 million, 1.9 million, and the third number was zero. And zero was the number of illegal immigrants that the Trump administration released into the country. They've ended the catch and release program that the Biden administration had, where they would encounter you at the border, and they judge success not based on how many illegals they kept out, but how many that they met, gave a Obama phone to, and sent them into Texas. And kudos to Governor Greg Abbott. I think Greg Abbott, when we look back on this decade, and I've been saying for weeks now that one of the hallmark moments in probably our lifetime is going to have been Elon Musk buying Twitter, because that changed the course of history in terms of where we could have been. But I think one of the things that really changed the tides on the illegal immigration debate was the governor of Texas making every state, all of these sanctuary states, making these sanctuary cities border states by busing and flying and sending the illegal border crossers over. And remember when they were crying, these Democrat mayors and governors were like, it's not fair. We couldn't prepare for them. We didn't know they were coming. We didn't have the resources. Exactly. That's how the border states have been feeling for decades. And he finally said, look, you're saying that you don't want to do anything about it. You don't want to enforce the laws. You won't enforce the laws. Let's share the experience with you. Let's invite you to participate. I think that was masterful. But I do think that Elon buying Twitter, I think that is really like the thing that sets us on a different course. And without that, I do think we would have had, I don't know if we'd had a second Biden administration, but you might have had a President Kamala Harris. And think about if we'd had President Kamala and Vice President Somali fraudster. What would we be reflecting on at the end of this year? We wouldn't be talking about zero migration. We would be talking about an entirely different set. I mean, Israel probably wouldn't exist. The border would be overrun and thrown open. I don't think if you just think about what would have happened? Our taxes would be up. They would have, because we were the Trump tax cuts, the working class tax cuts would have been left with expire. Everyone's taxes would be going up on January 1st. That's what we'd be talking about. We'd be having, I'm sure they would give the student debt relief, and you'd have a free health care for illegals expanded to all 50 states. These are the things that we would be looking at in the rearview mirror with Democrats using reconciliation, Kamala Harris getting her way. When we would try to say that, oh, this is undemocratic, they would say, be quiet or we'll throw you in jail with the J6 protesters. We would be in a very, very different world if Kamala Harris had won. And so this was a very pivotal election, I think. And it raises questions about what happens in 2028. And there's this other funny thing that I've noticed that happens when you can tell someone's doing well when there start to be these profiles on how they're not doing well. And I forgot where I was, maybe on the Drudge Report, which I probably shouldn't admit it, Jared, but because I grew up at a certain time in history, the Drudge Report was kind of the front page of news. You know, it was, you would go and you check the stories every day because it would highlight the most important stories for conservatives. But they, like many others, they caught this, what's that disorder that Trump refers to, called TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome?
Yeah.
Matt Drudge also has it.
Fun fact about Matt Drudge, actually, when I worked at WGAN 26 and 25 years ago now, he was on WGAN at the time, his radio show.
Really?
Yeah.
Drudge had a radio show?
Yeah, he did. Yep. It was on GAN 20-something years ago. Yeah.
Well, shout out to WGAN and the Portland Media Group, who owns it. Who's this is the studio I'm sitting in. If you're watching me on the Rumble Cam, you'll see I've got the WGAN mics and their posters behind me. I'm in the WGAN studio, so thank you to them. Thanks to Matt and Danny and the whole crew up here. But so Matt Drudge, he used to be a conservative. He used to be where you would go to kind of get back when, you know, Bill O'Reilly was big. He broke. What did he do? Matt Drudge really broke the Monica Lewinsky scandal open, right? That was he was the equivalent of a MAGA influencer today. He was the like Nick Shirley of his time, but only like he was bringing attention to things on the internet that the mainstream media wouldn't pay attention to. But he was, that's what he became famous for initially, right? Was the Lewinsky scandal. Yeah. So, Drudge Report, I just, as reflex, when I'm going to websites, because I did it for so long, it was habit, I'll just still go to the Drudge Report and I'll see what they're pulling up. And they've got a lot of like the war stuff, whatever else. But this morning, I noticed there was a picture of J.D. Vance looking sad. Picture of Lady Vance looking sad. And the headline said something like, Republicans have a Vance problem, and the problem is that no one likes him. Now, you know that's not true. I know that's not true. But there is a big section of the political class who have convinced themselves that what Tim Walz said about J.D. Vance, that he's a weird, is what's true. And so they link to this story, because that's what he is, right? A collection of links. This story in some website I never heard of that says, you know, with Donald Trump reportedly acknowledging to his inner circle that an unconstitutional third term is unlikely. You don't say, Jared. Privately, Trump is saying that he doesn't think that it's constitutional for him to have a third term. Oh my goodness. But why? Publicly, he keeps saying it. He hands people Trump 2028 hats, which, by the way, was my favorite thing, that he went and like took Mom Donnie over to like the merch wall. And he's like, oh, you want to like Trump 2028 hat? And they're like, no, I'm good. Gretchen Widmer, I probably took one home in her suitcase. I still can't get over it. That may be one of my favorite moments of 2025. When Gretchen Widmer was in the White House, she came into the Oval Office and then the press came in and she put the papers in front of her face. That might be one of the worst moments. She might be the biggest loser of 2025. I forgot that happened. So according to the Los Angeles Times, Trump has repeatedly told White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles that a third term isn't possible, but he's refrained from giving Vance a definitive endorsement to inherit the MAGA mantle. He's been asked about this in interviews. And in interviews, he said, yeah, I think JD's probably the favorite so far. We'll see. There are a lot of good people, but I think JD's doing a great job. So here's how they want to report it, that no one likes Vance. That no one likes Vance. Absolutely no one. Yeah, when we ask an our poll question on this show, we get time and time again that people are pretty satisfied with the job the vice president is doing. People like when he goes on the Sunday shows and puts Margaret Brennan or Kirsten Welker in their place. They love it. And all you have to do is listen to Harry Enten for what the markets think is going to happen. Cut 21.
Top chances to be the 2028 GOP Prez nominee. The prediction market odds. Look at this. J.D. Vance, 48% chance. Nobody else is even close. Marco Rubio is way back at 12%. And no one else is even above a 5% chance of being the 2028 GOP nominee. J.D. Vance is like Mario Andretti. And Marco Rubio and the rest of the field are like going around in go-karts at this point. I mean, that's really what we're looking at. J.D. Vance is the clear, heavy favorite at this time.
Clear, heavy favorite. Clear, heavy favorite. But the media wants to report it as no one likes him because he's weird, because he said the thing about the cats, or because of the weird story about the couches that they made up. No, no, J.D. Vance is doing a great job. He's inheriting the mail. He's uniting. Now, there are going to be people from the outside. There are going to be opportunists and politicians. It might be Ted Cruz. It might be Tucker. It might be someone else that wants to try to do it and let him compete for it. We don't mind the competition, but so far he's doing pretty well. He's showing that he's loyal to Trump. He's the chair of the fundraising committee for the RNC right now. He's going out and he's making his name for himself, but they can't help themselves. They have to come up with these false narratives to convince you, that you can't believe what you're actually seeing, but that it's really somehow that he's not succeeding. No, no, he's doing great. He's doing great. And that's the whole thing. Like, the J.D. Vance is on the rise. The left wants to tear him down. The right wants to tear him down because they can't stand that finally the people are getting what they want and they're seeing the performance. Now, were he to not do it, you could look at the Trump cabinet. There would be people like Marco Rubio, who we've all been impressed by. There could be people that are emerging. Now, I don't think Kristi Noem would be my choice, but I think Sean Duffy, the Secretary of Transportation, has started to impress people, but he's not been around long enough. He's still a bit untested. Having a good audition, a good 10 minutes, like, we don't need someone to be another Sarah Palin, where they're great the first two times you see them, but the third time you're like, well, I mean, I like her most of the time. No, no, we need someone who's proven. And J.D. Vance, I think, has come a long way. He's impressed a lot of people. So stop pushing the fake news that MAGA is divided or that, you know, people don't like J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is poised to inherit the Trump mail, but that's where it's going to matter, because there isn't going to be another third Trump term. There's going to be someone who's able to pick up where we left off, not backslide, not take us back to that dystopia where we missed out on all of the gains we made during the Trump years. What we're going to need is to build on our success. We'll take your calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourn.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
We are back on the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourn, sitting in for the captain. Howie will be back next week, but for now, the show must go on. And today's poll question is sponsored by Colette Tours. Discover Scotland with Colette and with our good friend Toby Leary of Cape Gunworks in September. Colette will handle all the details, the flights, the meals, the hotels, and the local experiences. Your only job is to have the time of your life. To join Toby, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to HowieCarshow.com and click the banner to learn more. Jared, what is today's poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is who is the biggest left-wing media loser of 2025? 60 Minutes, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, the Ladies of the View, Don Lemon, or Joy Reid?
There's a story out today that a bunch of veteran journalists from CBS have sent a letter to David Ellison. They're circulating a petition among them saying, oh, we're former journalists from CBS. And could you please ensure editorial independence and please make Barry Weiss stop? No, no. They knew what they were doing when they brought Barry Weiss in. Now, I think she probably could have spiked the story sooner and been in the five screening. So I will be critical of her for that she missed her opportunity and she did it ham-handedly. She did it late, but I don't mind that she did it. That's why he hired her. He hired her because he wanted them to have balance in their reporting, not just be an ideologically driven news magazine as they've been for decades now. for them to think, oh, we're going to move away from this unbiased past. No, no, you've been biased for a long time. We remember Dan Rather. We remember where CBS came from. So I think 60 Minutes, they do have a bit of a black eye, but their black eye had to do with that Kamala story and the fact that they had to pay up to Donald Trump. And so maybe this is a new fresh start. So I actually think CBS has a brighter future ahead. I think that the ladies of The View, I mean, they're beside themselves. They can't quite figure out. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to say it because they've been so hyperbolic for so, so long that they are really big losers. I think Jimmy Kimmel suggesting that Trump supporters were responsible for the murder of Charlie Kirk, blaming it on a Trump supporter and then having to walk it back without apologizing, refusing to apologize. And I think that when owners of the stations decided that they weren't going to air him and they had to make some moves there and they had to take him to task, I think Jimmy Kimmel is a big loser. And I think he's been exposed because he's had to become even more activist and reveal who he truly is. And every interview he gives with his wife makes them seem even worse. So I think he's a big loser. But I think Stephen Colbert, for me, is the biggest one because he lost his show and he's not coming back.
So Stephen Colbert is at 16%. He is in second place. We have a three-way tie at the top. 60 Minutes, Jimmy Kimmel, and the ladies of The View, all with 22%. Joy Reid has 14% and 3% for Don Lemon.
I didn't expect it to be that close.
Yeah.
844-500-4242. Let's take a quick call and talk to Tom. Tom, you're on the Howie Carr Show with Aaron Chadbourne.
Hey, Aaron. How are you, bud?
Good. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's the chances of getting the FBI in here checking out everything in Massachusetts? With Maine having issues, Minnesota, obviously, and then today reported 600 employees in Illinois, cashed out on the PPE. They won't do the audit that we voted for. How do we get the FBI out here to pull the covers back here?
I know. We need to do it, and thanks for the call. I think we need some combination of the FBI, the Department of Justice, the U.S. attorneys that are out there that have been nominated by Trump. They've been confirmed. They're in office. We need to get them out into the states. There's this whole, everyone's up in arms because Kash Patel is closing down the J. Edgar Hoover building. He's moving them out. He's moving them into the Ronald Reagan building, bringing them to D.C. He's been saying he was going to close that building and he was going to put people out in the field, put them into the states. I say bring them in. No one trusts Maura Healey to investigate herself, just like we don't trust Shenna Bellows up in Maine to investigate those ballots herself. Something funny happened with these ballots that went missing in Maine. Shenna Bellows says, oh, I'll just investigate myself. And guess what? The investigation has turned up bupkis. Nothing. Nada. So I think if Kash Patel wants to earn his salt and regain some of the credibility that he had, we were excited that he went in, he's going to start putting up points on the scoreboard, not just coming up after Nick Shirley has already exposed the fraud. And you can see there's this big flood of Kash Patel and Kristi Noem and others trying to get there now and cash in on this, no pun intended, cash in on this newfound attention in Minnesota. But we absolutely need to be going everywhere, into every state, because it's not just Maine. It's not just Ohio. It's not just Illinois. It's not just Minnesota. You can bet that there are states throughout the country that are experiencing this, and that many of the people who have been whistleblowers, they've been pushed under the rug, or they won't come forward because they're worried about being called racist. They're worried about being canceled. They're worried about being shut down. More Howie Carr Show when we come back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Howie, 844-500-4242. Now, we talked yesterday a little bit about these claims coming out of Russia that Putin was targeted. Poor Vladimir. Vladimir Putin claiming that he was targeted by something like 97 Ukrainian drones that flew over his residence. And it comes on the heels of a very productive conversation between President Zelensky and Donald Trump. I don't hold myself out there to be a Russia expert, but it seems like Putin has a few goals here. Goal number one, he wants as much of Ukraine for Russia as he can get. That's what he's wanted this whole time. He wants the whole thing. He wants to reunite the Soviet Union. He wants them back, man. He wants them back. He's like a jilted lover. He wants them back. If he can't have you, no one can have you. So Ukraine's been spending time with Trump. Trump's been trying to negotiate peace, and we know that. And Trump, I think, is he's to his credit, the only person who could be doing anything to get these people to sit down and make actual progress that seems like it's moving toward peace. And so that's going well. And so Russia all of a sudden now says, oh, no, they tried to kill me. And that made Trump mad because he's like, this isn't the time for that. We're getting them to the table. You can't, someone's not going to come to the table while you're trying to kill them. And Ukraine's like, but wait a minute. They're bombing us right now. They're trying to kill us right now. What, like, what do you mean? We can't do it. Like, we're at the table. Okay. Russia's the aggressor. I think it's meant to, I think Putin's probably lying, but maybe he's not. Maybe the Ukrainians are trying to kill them. And if they are trying to kill him, I don't blame them. I wouldn't mind killing Putin myself. And I am never going to be in the position to do that. And Vladimir, if you're listening, I promise I'm not a threat to you. Don't target me, KGB. But there will undoubtedly be more claims from Russia about what they're saying that the Ukrainians are trying to do, because Russia wants to mess up their relationship with between Trump and Zelensky, Trump and Ukraine. And why do they want to do that? They want to do that because Russia thinks that they're still gaining ground. Why would they negotiate peace when they have the upper hand? They want to keep taking more land, more people, more cities. And I watched that interview, the full thing between Vladimir Zelensky and Bret Baier. And what Zelensky said is he thinks that if you look just in terms of how much land they've taken, it looks like Russia's winning. But he said each year, increasingly, they're losing more and more people. It's becoming more costly in terms of human life. And that's what Trump didn't want. He didn't want to see all these people dying on the Ukrainian side, on the Russian side. But right now, Putin's got these, he's willing to throw Russian soldiers and conscripts and contractors, the people that he's bringing in from other countries. He's got them all dying to try to get more land for the glory of Russia. Well, while he thinks he's winning, he's not going to want peace. And so Zelensky basically said, look, and it is impressive to see the drones that they build, the capabilities they built. They're building them in Ukraine. They've got industry in there. They're purchasing weapons from the U.S., they think that they are pushing them back and they're having human costs. And I think that's, by the way, a terrible thing to be celebrating, how many people are dying. But they're not to the point yet where Russia thinks that it's better to negotiate a settlement and an end than it is to continue on. That's similar to how it is in Israel. If Israel had their way, they would be continuing to do what they were doing in Gaza. But Trump said enough is enough, and if you don't stop, we're going to stop supporting you. In this case, Trump's aligned with Ukraine, not with Russia, and so he doesn't really have the leverage, because why is Russia going to give it up? But I don't think that Ukraine tried to kill him. I really don't. I think that that Putin is lying to try to put a wedge between Trump, and Trump publicly won't call him out. I kind of wish he would. But he's trying something new. But the people in the media, the Caitlin Collinses of the world, they have on all these experts that want to say that Trump is dumb. He's getting played. And by the way, maybe he's being played by Putin. I don't know. But I think that he's trying to negotiate it. But I think that it's not a ripe time for negotiation. I think this is the problem with the situation. Trump wants to approach it like there's enough that everyone needs and has. But they realize this is Putin's dream. This is what he's wanted. And China is watching closely. China wants him to keep going. Because if they can make enough progress, China can go take Taiwan. There are so many of these countries that are invested. Iran. In seeing Russia be successful. And I think that Trump, to his credit, has tried to maintain open lines of communication with everyone. And he's tried to use the U.S.'s influence, our trading power, our foreign policy, in order to influence the outcomes that he thinks are in America's best interest and in the best interest of ending the war, ending the killing, ending the senseless deaths. But at some point, we need to acknowledge that Vladimir Putin is not an honest broker here. And the U.S. intelligence system, hopefully Tulsi Gabbard, should have the intelligence on whether or not there were drones that flew from Ukraine to Russia and were trying to kill Putin. And if Trump wants to be mad about the timing of that, but also we've seen Trump bluff in public before. We saw him do it when they went and they bombed Iran. We've seen him bluff in public before. So maybe that's what he was doing. He's trying to show solidarity with Putin publicly so that Putin will talk to him. so that he can try to get influence with Putin, so that he can get invited back, so that he and Witkoff can talk to them as he continues this shuttle diplomacy between the two countries trying to end the conflict. Did you see, by the way, Jared, that Trump obviously wants to win the Nobel Peace Prize. He's made no secret of it. And he's honestly negotiated so many treaties at this point and settlements. He's done so more than any other president. The woman that won the Peace Prize this year in Venezuela, she dedicated it to him and said that it really should have gone to him. Well, Israel, not to be outdone, Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday announced that they would be awarding Trump the Israel Prize. In the history of the state of Israel, they have never awarded it to a non-Israeli, but they've awarded it to Donald Trump because of the critical role he's playing in bringing a new order to the Middle East, bringing peace to the Middle East. And I hope that he succeeds, and I hope that he brings it to Russia and Ukraine too. What does it say, 508? Your best chance of taking out Putin would be to send Grace's homemade mashed potatoes. Oops. Grace doesn't make them herself. Has she ever made mashed potatoes? She uses the instant stuff, right? Didn't she go to the Hannaford or she went to the Star Market or whatever and she bought the mashed potatoes and put them in a container and then served them?
Yeah, I don't even think it was the instant. I think it was like the prepared package that you can buy in like the deli section.
You go to the deli section, or do you go to the hot bar section? You scoop it into like a container. That's what I picture. But anyway, you go to the deli section, and they have the pre-made like mashed potatoes. That's what she did. She took them home and she warmed them up. She put them in a dish and she served them. See, that would be good. I don't think that's, you know what? I'm going to stand up for Grace. Grace stands by that, by the way, because I told her that I had gotten a lot of text messages that wanted me to bring up her mashed potatoes with her, and she said I stand by it. She said it's a genius way to save time, and people like the mashed potatoes, they eat them. So that wouldn't take out Putin. But I do think that I don't just want to see the war end. I don't want to see some sort of deal that favors one side, that favors Russia, rewards them for the bad behavior. I want to see the U.S. be a leader again. Stand up and say, look, this is what we think is in our best interest, and we're going to cause it to happen. We need to say enough is enough at some point. That doesn't mean we need to engage in war, that we need to start World War III, but we're on the precipice of it. Joe Biden, I mean, everything that he did, we're lucky that we're not in World War III. With what China and Iran and Russia are doing, what they were allowed to get away with, we're lucky that we're not. And I don't think Trump wants to start it, but I do think that we need to see more strength. 844-500-4242. You know who Trump has been standing up to, though, Jared, quite a lot?
Who's that?
Democrat governors. These wacko, weirdo, useless governors. None more so than our good friend, we left him off the poll question yesterday, Gavin Newsom, or Newscum. And he's become so, I think, embarrassing with like his like trying to like copy Trump on Twitter and all of this. But I thought, I haven't heard this spokesperson for Trump before, and I guess she worked for the Trump campaign. Her name is Caroline Sunshine. She was on one of the shows yesterday talking about the results that Trump has had standing up to Gavin Newsom. I thought it was great. Cut number 20.
Let me try to put this in terms that Gavin Newsom will understand. Donald Trump is daddy, and daddy cut you off, and daddy said you can't use his credit card anymore. Because why should California and Gavin Newsom be getting federal funds when they don't even follow federal law? Nobody is obstructing federal immigration law more than the state of California and Gavin Newsom. You don't get a penny if you're not going to enforce federal law. And you're right. This is the train to nowhere. They built the Golden Gate Bridge, 4 years to build the Golden Gate Bridge, 16 years and $15 billion of federal tax money later, and not a single piece of track has been laid. So I think it's actually time for the Trump administration to go a step further. You look at the fraud that's just been uncovered in Minnesota. I think it's time to investigate the fraud that has likely occurred with this high-speed rail to nowhere project in California. Because typically, Jason, when you see the level of negligence that's occurred here, where, again, 16 years and not a single piece of track has been laid, that's not usually incompetence. That is usually corruption. And I'm going to bet if the Trump DOJ starts to look into exactly where all that money has gone, they're going to find that Gavin Newsom and his friends may have lined their pockets, and Minnesota isn't the only place where fraud is occurring.
Think about that. 4 years to build the Golden Gate Bridge, but they didn't have the technology, the advantages, and how, but they also didn't have the permitting. They didn't have the delays. But all of this time and all of this money, not a single piece of rail, not a single piece of track. That's one of the things when Maura Healey or Janet Mills, they look out to governors that they want to emulate, and they want to emulate Gavin Newsom. They want to make Massachusetts and Maine more like California. We don't need New England to be more like California. We need California to be more like Texas. We need to get out of the way. We need to allow development and infrastructure. We need to allow people that know what they're doing. And you know what often happens without massive amounts of government money? Because when there's massive amounts of government money, it is attractive for fraud. It's attractive for grift. It's attractive for waste. That's where it comes. And so I absolutely agree with her. Trump and Cash Patel and the FBI, they should be out investigating all of the fraud, all of the waste, all of the abuse. Elon Musk was on the right track with Doge. We need to amp it up. We need to put it on steroids. Because if this is what we're finding, this is what we know about, you know there's a lot more. 844-500-4242. Your calls when we come back. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Watch the show live.
Soundwave. Dispatch Rumble.
At rumble.com/The Howie Carr Show.
Rumble. Activate.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie. 844-500-4242 is the number if you would like to weigh in. You know, I didn't have Tim Walz revealing how incompetent he is, like more so than he did during the campaign with Kamala Harris. I thought that was probably the apex of how terrible he was going to be. I didn't think that we would find out worse things about him and that he'd be the one that did himself in. I didn't have that on my bingo card. I thought we had kind of seen the last of him. I thought he would go, keep his head down, be in Minnesota. And then I thought maybe he would try to run again. I thought he might have run for the U.S. Senate when the seat was announced it was going to be vacant. He chose not to. I thought maybe he would try to run for president, because once people have come on the national stage, I thought he would. I think this all but assures that he has. I mean, he really had no future after the embarrassment that came from his campaign and those 107 days with Kamala Harris. He didn't have a future. But he definitely doesn't now. I'd be surprised if he gets reelected as governor. He's still running for reelection as governor of Minnesota. They have to be looking. There has to be. And whenever the Democrat news media reports on someone, when they go and they actually report what's going on, it's usually to support another Democrat. So there's going to be someone out there that they're planning to elevate over him. But I think he's done. But I didn't have his complete implosion on my bingo card for this year. And so this year we've really seen, maybe that's one of the stories of 2025, is the Democrat governors that Trump has helped expose. We knew it about Gavin Newsom during COVID. We knew it about Andrew Cuomo during COVID. But Andrew Cuomo has been gone long enough that we would take him over Mamdani. We'd take him over the socialist. Mamdani did the impossible in making people miss Andrew Cuomo, but not miss him enough that they'd actually vote for him over Mamdani. But we've seen Trump humiliate Gretchen Whitmer. We've seen him humiliate J.B. Pritzker. We've seen him humiliate now Tim Walz. And, you know, Nancy Mace did her fair job. But remember, she had that hearing where she kept asking him to say what a woman was, and he pretended he couldn't understand the question. So he's been an embarrassment, and he really embarrassed himself in the way that he speaks, the way that he talks, the way that he, you know, says one thing when he's running for office. And then when you dig into it, you realize that it's really his disdain for the American people. It's his disdain for the people from his home state. He says that he was the one that was brought onto the ticket to give a permission structure to white men that they could support this, they could vote for this. But no. Nope. He actually now is saying that the Somalis that committed the fraud aren't the problem. The white people that we don't know about, who probably, you know, he's making up, that they're the ones that are actually the problem. That's the real problem. This guy is a joke. Who do you think, Jared, will be the next Democrat governor that is revealed by Trump to be a fraud and a phony?
Ooh, that's tough. That would be a good poll question.
I mean, we already know about Maura Healey. We know about Janet Mills.
Yeah, I mean, they're not really going to be exposed for anything. Although, the Healey Hotel thing is catching a little bit of national steam. But I would have thought Gretchen Whitmer, but like you were talking about, after she was basically put in the corner out in the hall with the dunce cap on at the White House, I think that he's kind of won that one. Ooh, which governor? Hochul would be a good one. Newsom, that's tough.
Right? I mean, Newsom, I think we've already gotten. There's going to be another one out there that we haven't like seen fully be humiliated yet. That's coming.
You know, I would Katie Hobbs, perhaps.
Mm.
She's a dark horse candidate right now. She's not really on the radar, but again, she was like Secretary of State who oversaw a, shall we say, funny election and counted the votes for herself. So if they're really making a push here to stop fraud, I bet you there's a lot of fraud there that she could be in the mix.
I'm looking at the list right now of Democratic governors, and there are some interesting ones here. You got Marilla Bowser. She's not really a governor. She's a mayor. But Trump kind of brought her to heel, right, on this National Guard stuff. At first, she, like, wanted to fight him, and then she came around and thanked him for what he'd actually done and worked with the administration and realized that it was actually a blessing. Andy Beshear in Kentucky. I'd like to see Trump out him for being a fraud and a phony, for being a paper tiger. Ned Lamont in Connecticut. He's a piece of work. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, I think New England is kind of just like a national, we'll let those kids with, those kids in the corner can eat paste and we'll deal with the other stuff.
Yeah, but Trump has a way of getting in these people's heads and making them explode. Wes Moore in Maryland, he's a rising star. I think he'd be an interesting one for Trump to take on mano a mano. Maybe Josh Shapiro. I think the rising stars, that's who I want to see the fight with next. Maybe Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania. Who Kamala Harris really, let's be honest, she should have picked him. She needed to win Pennsylvania. She should have picked the very popular governor of Pennsylvania. But remind me, he had a small problem that she couldn't pick him. And it wasn't that he was talking about what art to hang on the mansion in the vice president's mansion at the National Observatory with her assistant, who, by the way, said that it was her job to help get the art hung. And so he was like, oh, if I were to be vice president, would I be able to have Pennsylvania artists, like where he's from, their art hang? Because she was talking about it. But no, that's the detail that made it into Kamala's book. She didn't pick him. What was the reason, Jared? There was some reason she couldn't pick him.
I think it was because he was Jewish. Was that it?
No, couldn't be.
No,
couldn't be. Not Kamala.
Surely she couldn't. No anti-Semitism on the left.
She didn't pick Mayor Pete because he was gay. She didn't pick Josh Shapiro because he was Jewish.